conditions in most parts of Wisconsin, or at least many parts of Wisconsin, aren't ideal for growing blueberries, but there are, you know what, some ways you can do to improve your odds of getting a good crop. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along for Garden Talk. Our guest today is Vijay Pandian. He is a horticulture agent and educator for the University of Wisconsin Extension, located in Brown County, writes a gardening column for the Green Bay Press Gazette, and we'll talk with him about what you can do to get those blueberry bushes to grow and your experiences if you do grow them, and probably answer some other gardening questions as well as we move along. So I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And BJ Pandian, welcome back.
Good morning, Larry.
It's great to have you with us once again. And why are blueberries difficult to grow here in some parts of Wisconsin, at least?
Well, that's a great question. Though we have an ideal climatic condition, however, the soil pH is an issue. Blueberries are very picky about their soil pH. They like an acid soil from ranging from 4.5 to 5.5 pH. However, you know, most soils in Wisconsin, as you know, especially from southern part of Wisconsin, especially, you know, our pH is above 7. They're slightly alkaline. So that makes it very challenging to grow blueberries, especially in southern part of Wisconsin.
And, you know, there are ways to do it, though, and you've been doing some research on different ways to do it.
Yes, absolutely. And for the past 3-4 years, through our Master Gardener volunteers, we've been doing some demonstration trial at the Brown County Extension Office, how to grow blueberries. So what we found, actually, is to better to grow them either in a soilless media, in a container, or in a trench system. And personally, from the past 3-4 years of experience, we found great success in growing in a soilless media in an in-ground trench. And we were able to get some pretty good, decent crop, actually, from those things. So, and to grow them in a soilless media is a bit easy. You know, instead of using your original soil, you pre-mix, actually, a soilless media comprising of peat, perlite, and pine bark. That's it. Three ingredients. So one part ratio, mix them all together, and then put them in a container, and then plant your blueberries. Don't mix any original soil, or don't add any of your backyard compost or any other leafy materials, okay, that may able to alter the pH.
Luba wondered how long it takes for a blueberry bush to produce blueberries.
Well, generally, starting from second year onwards, okay, it will start to produce, but you will start to see the peak production beginning after 3 or 4 years later.
Okay, there we go. Mike in Madison has something for us. Mike, hi.
Hi, Larry. Hey. We planted blueberries, and under the guise of my lovely wife, we found a system that worked really well. We live in Madison, and typical clay soils. We started out digging. We got 3 blueberries of different variety, so that they would ripen at different times of the year. We started out digging a trench about as big as a phone booth, and filling that in with pine chips, so the pine bark follows that. So the big trench. And did exactly what your guest said, was mix peat moss with other soils and make our own soil. And then when they did, and they were small, just rooted plants when we put them in, and we plucked the, and this is pretty hard to do, but we plucked the blossoms for the first 3 years, so the energy would go down into the roots and the stem system.
Ah.
And out of those 3 bushes, of course, One delivers a tremendous amount of blueberries, and they're smaller. And then there was another one that doesn't have quite the volume, but they're larger blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick about, out of three bushes, we're pushing 25 pounds per year of blueberries.
That's pretty good, Mike.
Wow, that's amazing, actually.
Yeah.
You know, every varieties are a bit different. So like varieties like St. Cloud, they produce small-sized berries. We had success in growing Patriot. Patriots usually have a very large-sized berry and very aromatic and has a little toddy taste to it. That's a very awesome variety. You should try it out. And then there is actually a blue crop, which is a very vigorous bush. It's actually a high bush. And it also produces a large-sized berry, very vigorous. You can also get a tremendous amount of yield from blue crop, too.
Oh, nice.
And then one thing is that you don't have to pluck the blossoms on second and third. Usually, within the first year itself, actually, the blueberries will establish. As long as your soil pH is right, and if you're able to produce, able to amend the soil by adding some sulfur in the spring, you should be able to, the root should establish very quickly.
Yeah. Thanks. We followed just observing the plants, and during the summer season, if the leaves started to get a little rust colored, like they're turning color in the fall, that's our sign to add more sulfur.
I just like to point you out, blueberry roots are very sensitive to moisture stress. The rusty colored thing that you have mentioned is actually due to heat stress combined with moisture stress. Because 80 to 90% of the roots are on the top 6 inches of the media. So they need like a frequent light watering. Say maybe every other day, water them actually right to the base, and that might help them actually in avoiding this heat and moisture stress. You can do is that if you do have a little bit of a sawdust, or maybe if you have an extra bit of like a pine needles, you can actually add them hold those moisture in the media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, we'll water more often and not as much when we water. We also have rain barrels, which allow us to give it water that's not the aquifer that we live in, which is full of lime and will neutralize the acid more. So we use rainwater when we water.
Oh, good. Sounds like you're doing a lot of things right there, Mike. Thank you.
It's a lot of fun.
How many? 25 pounds.
I think last year we got 28 pounds, and the year before we got 26.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Thanks for that call. I appreciate it very much. Well, he was talking about a trench. If you were doing a trench, how far down would you go?
We dig about 10 to 12 inches. And that's good enough because most of the roots are very shallow rooted. They are mostly in the top 8 to 9 inches at the maximum. So 10 to 12 inches deep is good. Generally, our trench system is about 4 feet in wide, 6 feet in length, and about 8 to 10 to 12 inches deep. And we put up a wooden frame actually to hold those surrounding soil from leaching into the trench. But I've seen some gardeners, they don't even use a wooden frame. My master year gardeners used to kid about, as if we are digging like a coffin actually down there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Matt from Wausau, and remember now, Matt is from Wausau here. He recommends a fence to protect your blueberry patch from the onslaught of white-tailed deer.
Not just only the deer, even the birds, as well as from chipmunks. We found the chipmunks are very notorious, and they're very smart. We actually put up a bird net around the top of the plant in addition to the fence to keep those bunnies as well as deer. But the chipmunks are very smart. They know how to lift the bird net actually and crawl into it. So we have to nail those bird net actually either to the fence or into the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Once you have a blueberry plant, I don't know, those wildlife folks have a sixth sense, it seems like, and they will tend to crowd onto your plant.
Let's go back to the pots for a minute, because you say frequent watering. So, a couple of things here. Watering is probably even more important in a pot, or maybe, you want to be careful in a pot to make sure that you're not either overwatering or not watering enough. And then the other thing is overwintering. Do you dig those pots down into the soil, or what do you do?
That's a great question. What we tend to do, actually, is if you have your blueberry in a container or in a pot, we encourage the home gardeners to bury the container in the ground, because in a container set above the ground usually gets heated up pretty quickly. And as I told you, the roots are very sensitive to heat and moisture stress.
Yeah.
And so we need some sort of like a cooling system actually during the summertime. So it's best actually to dig them in the ground and bury the container till to the rim. And that takes care of the overwintering thing too. In the fall time, you don't have to worry about how I'm going to store those blueberries actually in the house or in the garage, since you bury the container into the ground, and then the ground provides an excellent insulation from the cold temperatures too.
And you put, imagine you have some holes in the bottom of that pot?
Absolutely. You need to have a good drainage holes. Like you said, you know, blueberries, you know, tend not to like wet feet too. So you need to make sure to have some pretty good drainage holes on the bottom of the container.
Let's go to Bill in Westfield. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Hello there.
What have you got for us today?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I'm learning something here, thank goodness. I have a pine plantation. Some of it's been in since 1941, and we added to it in 51, and we added to it in 61, and now we're doing some major pulping in there. And I'm having the fellows leave me two pretty large areas, which I would like to put blueberries in because of the acidic soil up there in the pines. I want to find out what your thoughts are about that. And also, when you mentioned containers, I've got some, I did some work at one of the big new dairies that went in up here, and they had these culverts. They were black plastic, and they cut off a lot of it. They cut off a lot of it when they didn't need it, and I've got a bunch of that. And I'm wondering if I use, instead of a pot and drilling holes in it, if I set these in the ground and then let the water, excess water, drain through and so on.
How deep and wide would they be, those pipes?
Well, they're about 20 inches, 20 to 22 inches wide, and I can make them for around the yard here. I've done it in some of them 4 inches cuts, and some of them I've got as much as I can have 3 feet. I can cut them any size.
And then, but what about the depth?
Any size, 3 feet deep.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So they can, okay.
18 inches deep, or whatever I want to set in the ground.
Yeah, the only thing is that, in a sense, that pipe looks like a black color pipe. Black tends to absorb the heat. So I would make sure to bury the container. You know, if you make it a container size, make sure to bury it so that way you can actually avoid the heat stress.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to your first question, I would still do a soil pH test.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Damn. You know, this is one of the misconceptions that many people have. You know, if you have a pine trees and you might be assuming that the pine needles tend to acidify the soil. That's partially true. And pine needles, you know, once they decompose, they will tend to alter the soil pH only to a negligible amount, okay? Say, I would still encourage you to do a simple soil pH test. Take a soil sample to your local extension office, and you can get just only pH test, cost you around like $5 to $10. So just get it tested down and find out actually what your pH is. If your pH is acidic, if it's in the range of like 5 to 5.5, yes, you can go ahead and stick your blueberry plant. If it's above 7, then probably you may want to think about growing them in a trench or maybe in a container settings.
Westfield, there might be the soil. I mean, if pine trees are going to grow in that soil and really grow well, it may be that they don't mind a little more acid anyway.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Really need to get that soil tested.
Yeah.
Oh yes, definitely.
Well,
I need to get fences around it up there because it's here.
Yeah. You got that right, Bill. Thanks a lot.
The other question I had is you started out saying to make this mixture of the soil, peat and pine bark for when I'm going to have some containers of blueberries around the house. What was the other mixture?
The other one is called perlite. P-E-R-L-I-T-E. It's actually, you know, when you go to a garden center, it's like P-E-R-L-I-T-E.
P-E-R-L-I-T.
Yeah, pronounced perlite.
Yeah, it's a byproduct from volcanic material. It's very light and fluffy in nature. You can get it at any garden center as a bag of perlite.
Got some?
And then the Patriot, you mentioned Patriot, and you mentioned Blue Crop.
Mm-hmm. St. Cloud is also another excellent variety. You can also try North Blue.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's called what? What was that one?
North Blue.
North Blue?
North?
Okay. North Blue. Mm-hmm. There we go.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Vijay Pandya, an horticulture educator for the UW Extension in Brown County. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Next week on Garden Talk, Brian Huddleston will be back to talk about plant diseases and answer your questions. Right now, we're taking a look at growing blueberries, and we can take other issues as well with our guest today, Vijay Pandya, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Gary in Boscobel up next. Hi, Gary.
Thank you, Larry. I don't have any comments on horticultural blueberries, but I would like to comment on some of the wild blueberries in the Central Sands area, especially in places like the CETA National Wildlife Refuge, where the managers there are doing large-scale barrens restoration work and using fire as a management tool. The ground cover there sometimes is just almost 50% covered with native wild blueberries there, and they seem to really need to have fire as a disturbance feature and a stimulation for these blueberries to produce abundant fruit. And then down here in I found native wild blueberries as far south as northwest Lafayette County, and they end up being finding them on growing areas that we call pine relics, where these sandy outcrops have harbored native species from glacial times, and there'll be native blueberries growing in those. The difference is that these southern blueberries, the fruit is about the size of a shotgun BB or a BB gun BB. They're really small, but they indeed are blueberries, and I believe we probably have several species of native blueberries growing here in Wisconsin. So I just thought that would maybe tie in with the blueberry interest.
Yeah, Gary, thanks a lot for calling. Vijay, a comment?
Yes, there are a lot of, native blueberries in Wisconsin, as you said, in central part of Wisconsin, as well as if you go further up in Marinette County in that area too. And those are all low bush type, and they typically grow about maximum of 12 to 18 inches in tall and spreads like a ground cover. And they provide an excellent food material for birds and wildlife animals, and those things. And one of the key factors many of these low bush variety is the light. So if they do get an abundant light, you're going to see a lot of abundant fruit. But many times when I go for a walk and sometimes in trails, I do find these kind of low bush as an understory thing, and they produce a very few little fruits actually. So, yes, we do have actually quite a bit of low bush varieties actually in native to Wisconsin. And one of the excellent low bush variety, if any homeowners want to try in as a container for patio setting, is called Top Hat.
Top Hat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting name to it. And the berries are like a small size, as you said, Bell, they're like a pea size shape, okay? And they are more in the mounding habit they have and more spreading type. So if you don't have a large yard and you want to have something, in your balcony or in your patio, and you want to have something in a container settings, probably you can try Top Hat.
Oh, very excellent. Cheryl from Lancaster on Facebook wonders, if you need to feed or fertilize the buried pots of blueberries, and if so, how can you do it organically, and then how often?
Okay, that's a
few
very
questions there.
Oh, that's a very important question to ask. Not only if you have the media right, you need to actually fertilize those plants, because the media, is going to give you an acidic condition to it. However, they don't have enough nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium and other micronutrients, and which are essential for the blueberries to thrive. So beginning in mid-May, Every once in or twice a month, you need to fertilize the blueberry till mid-July. So I typically recommend, you know, if you're a conventional gardener, use like something like Miracid. Make sure to follow the product label and dilute it and drench it just to the base of the plant. Don't do any foliar spray as it will burn the foliage. Now, if you're an organic grower, maybe you may want to think about using like, you know, fish emulsion or maybe blood meal, and make sure to dilute it and drench it just to the root base. Now, the problem with the fish emulsion and blood meal is that they might stink, and as long as if you're okay with that, that's okay.
There we go. VJ Pandy and our guest. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. And we can take questions other than blueberries as well. Another couple of questions. What about diseases or insects that we ought to be aware of?
If you do plant blueberries in a very in a closed space or in a tight space, they may actually, you know, get some diseases like botrytis blight, or sometimes, you know, they got like a mummy berries. These are all fungal diseases associated with high humidity issue. So make sure when you guys plant them in a trenches, you know, give at least about like a 2 to 3 feet spacing apart from one plant to another plant, so that it encourages better air circulation around each blueberries. And the other thing is that when you're watering these blueberries, don't spray on the top of the plant. Just water just to the base of it. In that way, you will try to minimize the leaf wetness, which will discourage any of those fungal pathogens affecting your blueberry plant. And if you do find any kind of, you know, infected berries, you know, which are mummified or it has some rotten appearance to it, just, you know, harvest them and discard them right away.
We just off onto another topic. Will in Middleton wondered if he can still prune his shrubs this winter.
Probably, I mean, it depends upon what type of shrub you're talking about. Generally, shrubs are best pruned in about like a late winter, early spring before the bud break. Now, as I said, it depends on what type of shrub. If it's a spring flowering shrub, then probably you may want to wait after it's done with the blooming. Like, for example, lilacs and those kind of things. Now, if it's a summer flowering shrubs like hydrangeas and those kind of things, you know, you can prune them in late winter, early spring before the bud breaks happens.
I have some daylilies that were shooting through the ground here about a week ago, and I thought, oh, no. They're likely not to to make it.
You know, certainly you're going to see some of those foliage die back, but they may have some enough energy stored down into the you know, into the crown area, and they may come back again. So, yeah.
I'm hoping. Tony in Appleton has a question. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling.
No, thank you for taking my call. When I was wondering, when I was younger, we used to go in the Plover Plain Field, Plover Stevens Point area. You could go in any woods there was and pick wild blueberries. And when you ate them, they were sweet as sugar. And the last couple of years, me and my wife have gone to blueberry farms and picked them. And those blueberries are twice the size or three times that, but they basically don't have any flavor. They're not sweet. They're not nowhere near like the wild ones were. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Why would blueberries grown commercially, let's say, not have the flavor of others? Or I'm sure, you know, I've had commercially grown blueberries that were very good. What conditions might create that?
Well, it depends on the variety. And many of those commercial varieties, you know, they're bred through breeding programs. So they want to make sure that these varieties actually adapt to our northern climatic conditions. And they have some disease-resistant characteristics, too. And when you breed them, sometimes you lose those kind of characteristics, like taste characteristic. But there are certain varieties which may able to taste better. So if you want to looking for some good tasting blueberries, try North Blue. North Blue is they grow about like 3 to 4 feet tall at the maximum, and the berries are very firm, large in size, and they have a very good flavor.
So North Blue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And The other one, as I said to you, Patriot, you know, is very aromatic. You know, the Barista Lodge aromatic, and it has a little, they don't have a sweet taste to it, but they have more of a little bit of a tart taste to it. So depending upon what variety, you know, the, you know, you're purchasing or you're growing, you know, your taste may vary. Sometimes, you know, don't trigger your plant with too much fertilization. If you do trigger too much fertilization, they may trigger more foliage, and your berries will be smaller in size, and sometimes they don't taste that really good either. That's also something to be aware about it, too.
We have Rod in Duluth, Minnesota next. Hi, Rod.
Hi. Hey, I'm not a blueberry plant guy, but I got 13 blueberry plants, and I think I do everything wrong. In the fall, what I do is I bury them with my oak and maple leaves, and you know, people say they're not supposed to, but and then I also take a ring and put them around there, so in case there's any weeds that start, and you know, I just pick them around the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I did have one of those big plants where you almost need a little stepladder to get up there. My goodness, you can get tons of blueberries off them. But I got, like I say, about 13 different blueberries, and what am I doing right?
Well, you probably...
I talk to them.
Yeah, you talk to them. You probably have some natural soil conditions, VJ, that would be helpful, would be my guess anyway.
Absolutely right. You know, since you're living in Duluth, I'm kind of guessing that your soil will be naturally acidic. So you may want to, test your soil to verify and confirm that. If you do have a naturally acidic soil, then you don't have to think about growing in a container. Because what we found in our demonstration trial is that, you know, the container blueberries, you know, even though you have a 5-gallon, 10-gallon type of containers, okay, they have a very stunted growth. Their roots mm-hmm. get easily coiled inside the
sure.
container, and that affect their growth as well as the yield. So you may want to think about, you know, sticking them directly into the soil if your soil is naturally, you know, acidic in nature. And
what I did is I just tuck a 55-gallon barrel and I cut it in a quarter and I just put that on top. You know, I didn't just to keep the weeds down.
Yeah.
And then I did fill them up with wood chips the other day or last summer.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's leaves.
Yeah. Okay. I would not add oak or maple leaf, you know, but if you do have pine needles, maybe if you want to add them, actually, you know, that mm-hmm. might be great. But oaks and maple, when they decompose, they tend to slightly alter the soil pH, you know, but not to a great effect. And regarding to the weed control, sometimes you could smother actually most of these weeds, you know, by using, you know, like a pine bark or mulch them with those things. You know, that might also help in that too. I don't know. And if you do find, like, you know, the ring system that you have, you know, what that prevents some of those kind of perennial weeds trying to creep inside, you know, that might, mm-hmm. you know, that's good. You know, it's like more like a landscape edging material type kind of thing, you know, so that's good.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks a lot, Rod.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. We have Brooke in Eau Claire up next. So let's go there. Hi, Brooke.
Hi. This isn't a blueberry question, but how safe? A neighbor gave me one of those big round bales of chopped corn stalks.
Yeah.
How safe is that? Safe for mulch? Because I was like thinking of the atrazine that's put on, you know, when the corn first comes up in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You may want to talk to the farmer and see if he really sprays any atrazine on things. Atrazine also takes a while to, you know, break down. But generally, many farmers, you know, don't use that much. But you may want to confirm with the farmers. If it doesn't have an atrazine or any of those things sprayed, then probably, you know, you can use it as a mulch in your garden beds.
Mm-hmm. How long does atrazine hang in the soil or in the plant?
I really don't know.
I can't remember either. That'd be one we can look that one up and see. But I think your advice to talk to the farmer is probably good advice mm-hmm. for sure. Thanks, Brooke. Appreciate the call. And you can join in too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Janice in Antioch, Illinois, up next. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Larry. I have some plants that we put in maybe 20 years ago. We dug a hole a couple feet deep and then filled it with peat, and I can't remember so much, and then made a raised bed out of it. But it wasn't that big. It was maybe 3 or 4 feet by 6 to 8 feet.
Yeah.
And I would like to move them now because we planted some oak trees on the south side, and they are all reaching far, far out away from the oak trees to try to get some sun. And is it possible to move these older plants?
Can you move or transplant blueberry plants?
Certainly you can give a shot. The timing is very crucial. So if you do want to transplant them into a sunny area, probably you may want to do them in very early spring before the bud breaks take place, you know, before the bud swell starts. And when you do transplant them, dig as much as a root ball, as much as you can, and then you can transplant it. Now, you may see that the plant may get into some shock mode for at least for a year or a couple of years. You may see some branch die back, which is pretty natural. But make sure to keep watering the plant. Light, frequent watering is very essential. That will stimulate the root growth, and that will help them actually to establish much faster.
All right.
Great. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck, Janice. Appreciate the call. And here's Gene in Menominee with something for us. Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling.
Sure. The lady that was wondering about the bale of corn stalks.
Yeah.
If neonicotinoid pesticides were used on those corn, it would have been taken up and it would be present in the stalks. It has a half-life of, I believe, 2 or 3 years, so that there would be a fair quantity in the stalks that would be then taken up by her plants. And if it's neonicotinoids are a neurotoxin, both and has been shown to have effects both on people and on bees, and most prominently on bees. So I would she should check with the farmer to see if indeed one of those pesticides, one of that family of pesticides has been used on that, because they are systemic pesticides as opposed to killing stuff that's on the outside.
Yeah, good point. And if you've still got that bale and that, they were used 2 or 3 years?
Well, No. It has a half-life of 2 or 3 years.
Oh, half-life, okay.
That means
sorry.
It'll stick around not only in those corn stalks, but in her soil for 2 or 3 years, and then it's only cut down by 50%.
Gotcha.
So you know it's a
something to think. Definitely check on and make sure.
Yeah, I mean it's an issue for those of us that try to grow honeybees. Because you know you grow corn 1 year, you have alfalfa the next year, you find it in the alfalfa, and then of course.
The bees die,
and then it's also found in the milk and the butter and the cheese and the cows that eat the alfalfa. So, you know,
not anything to fool with.
No.
Okay.
That's a good suggestion. I think atrazine is not a neonicotinoid. It's not an insecticide. It's an herbicide, you know, which is used for killing weeds and, you know, field crops mostly. But I do know that atrazine do have some soil residue effect. So I think perhaps, you know, consulting with a farmer or checking with the local extension, ag agents might provide some better information, is there going to be any residue on the corn stalk, you know, especially with the atrazine, or, you know, something that they can check with the local ag agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. Thanks, Gene, for calling. Appreciate it. And Charlotte in McConnell, Illinois, we're on to you. Thank you for calling.
I'm in Zone 4. Some say Zone 5, but I still say we're Zone 4, Northern Illinois, western part. This is a blueberry question. I'm not interested so much in a nice crop of blueberries. Let the birds have them. What I'm interested in is the names of the best bushes that have the brilliant fall foliage, the red foliage color in the fall.
Mm-hmm. All right. So which ones are prettiest in the fall, DJ?
For my zone.
Okay. Well, and I still agree with you, you know, though the USDA has changed the zone of hardiness, sometimes it takes only one winter, actually, to shift us back to our original one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most blueberries, tend to have this brilliant, you know, reddish-orange or, you know, deep red fall colors.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the good ones that I really like is what I've seen in the last couple of years is blue crop, which is more vigorous plant. It gets even 5 feet tall within like 3 years after you plant it.
Mm.
So you may want to give a shot with that, and it might add a pretty good ornamental value in your landscape.
That's mainly what I'm interested in, and not so much the berries. Also, do I have to keep acidifying the soil to get the fall color, or can I just sort of let them go their own way if I don't care so much about the crop of berries?
Now, since you live in Minnesota, if I understand.
Illinois.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to do a soil pH test. I'm kind of suspecting you might live in an alkaline soil condition.
Yeah.
So you may want to think about acidifying them. You know, if you don't acidify your soil, in about second or third year, your blueberry plant will collapse to death.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you need a little acid in there.
Yeah. So spring is the best time that you may want to think about using some elemental sulfur around the plant, you know, to acidify your soil.
All right.
So every spring, look into the product label, how much teaspoon to be added, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Generally, 1 tablespoon for 4-inch size containers you need to add. So you may want to think about, you know, sprinkling it out. And what else? And probably you may also think about fertilizing the plant too. So using some miracid beginning in mid-June to mid-May till about mid-July. You may want to think about, you know, once or twice a month using miracid. You may want to fertilize your plant.
All right.
All right. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And in terms, somebody asked about sun, or somebody was talking earlier about moving their plants, and Stephen on Facebook wonders how much sun a blueberry bush really needs.
That's a very important question. Sunlight is a critical factor that's going to trigger actually the blossoms. So if you want to have a successful blueberry crop, it does need actually about like 6 to 8 hours of full sun. Because all those blossoms are located on the terminal ends of those branches. So if you do see those terminal buds, which are very plumpy, those are the flower buds. So each of those buds have about 5 to 12 flower clusters into it. And sunlight is very essential for them actually to produce those flower buds. If you don't have enough sunlight, they're going to just keep on producing only the foliage, and no flowers means no fruit.
There we go. Vijay Pandey, and horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. Call in with your gardening questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Vijay Pandey, and horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. Been zeroing in a little on blueberries, but we can take other questions as well, certainly as we visit with him. So call in at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Emily on Facebook has a cherry tree that flowers every year but does not fruit. What can she do to encourage fruiting, Vijay?
If it's a sweet cherry, The one thing in Wisconsin is that, you know, these sweet cherries are very sensitive to frost. So by the time when they're in full bloom, and if you suddenly have a dip in temperature, or if there's any freezing conditions, then probably those flowers can easily get aborted. And when you aborted plants, then means that they don't actually able to produce any fruits. So that's one possibility that sweet cherries may not able to produce flowers, fruits. Now, think about also cross-pollination, too. So it's best to have actually another different varieties to encourage for pollination. Mm-hmm. But sweet cherries, you know, generally, you know, can benefit from other different types, too. So also think about, you know, make sure that, you know, at the time they don't spray any type of pesticides, you know, so that, you know, you don't discourage some bees actually helping in pollination, too.
Michelle in Fort McCoy emailed to ask if it's safe to use dog manure on a vegetable garden.
Not really. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's always a possibility of some E. coli and other type of bacterial contaminations and those kind of things. So generally, you should not use those in a pet waste into your compost bin or directly into your vegetable garden. So it's best to safely dispose them. So don't use those things in your vegetable garden or into your fruit beds or anything like that.
And Pat in Duluth recommends a report from the Xerces Society on neonicotinoids and bees, and we posted that link on Facebook. So people want to, I don't know if I pronounce that, neonicotinoids?
Neonicotinoids.
There we go. That's the right way to pronounce it. Anyway, we have that up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Great to have that put up. And Lexi, thanks for posting that. Appreciate it. Lexi, are answering phones for us today. I think. Are you? No, she's running the she's running the board for us here. Kyle posted a photo on Facebook page of the glaze blueberry, and it has beautiful fall foliage. And let me just hit, I don't have it in front of me right now, but we'll have it up in a minute. But it's got a very lovely fall foliage. So let's see. We'll look. And then let's turn in the meantime to, oh, yeah, there's a very bright pink and red foliage from that particular plant. It's really pretty.
The blueberry is one of the few bushes that has this fantastic fall color, just like that kind of like a burning bush, kind of like ornamental plants. But it also depends upon, you know, how the fall season is. If you do have a wet fall season, probably they don't last that long. It's a very good ornamental plant to have in the landscape.
Let's go to Lynn in Barnum, Minnesota next. Lynn, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm curious if I could transplant wild asparagus, and if I can, what would I need to do for it to succeed?
Certainly you could transplant them. Usually, you know, when you're planting an asparagus, we recommend usually planting some male varieties, okay, rather than, you know, female varieties, because female varieties tend to produce those seeds and that becomes weedy down the road. So that's one other doubt that you may have, you know, because when you're getting from the wild, you don't know whether it's a male or female. But certainly you can transplant them. Spring is the best time to transplant them. If you know where it is growing, you can scoop it out and you can plant them, you know, in your backyard.
But I'm telling you, there are some really good male varieties, aren't there, out there that really produce?
That's a good Josie series of varieties available, like Josie Knight, which is an excellent variety, male variety that you can plant, and many garden centers do sell those things.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Lynn.
Would I prepare the soil, though, for him?
Oh, what? Soil preparation.
Yes, probably. You know, if you have a lot of clay soil, maybe you will want to think about amending it with some compost or any other organic matter, You may want to dig a shallow trench, and then you set the crown, and make sure the roots are, you know, stretched out, and then you could, you know, add the or amended soil back again, and that should be good. Now, some people also put some, like, bone meal, actually, in the shallow trench, too, to encourage better root development. So that's an optional. So if you want to have a faster root development, you may want to sprinkle some bone meal into the trench, and then you backfill it with the original soil or the amended soil that you have.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks, Lynn. Dean and Kakana up next. Hi, Dean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I got a question about your mulching stuff. I use needles for mulch. Is fir and spruce, is that needles? Is that comparable to the pine needle mulch?
Certainly, you could use those, you know, fir or spruce needles, and basically they're going to help actually in, you know, conserving your soil moisture, but not really in terms of trying to acidify your soil, so certainly you could use those things.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling, and let's go to Tom in Brookfield. Tom, hello to you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
I planted all blue crop blueberries about, 5 years ago. And when I planted them, I had real nice blueberries. I mean, some were the size of a nickel. And it was pretty abundant. But it seems to me that over the years, the bushes themselves are decreasing in size. I know that 2 years ago, we had a real bad winter. And I think a lot of the severe weather, you know, lots of the ends of the branches were dead. So I nipped that off, and, you know, come May and June, I was hitting them with muir acid about twice a month. But it seems like they're just not the same as when I planted them. What am I doing wrong to get them, or what can I do to get them back to the nice and big and productive?
Okay. You know, since you said, it, you know, you planted it 4 or 5 years ago, most of the time, the blueberry crops, you know, are produced on the second, third year, and fourth year cane. So you may want to think about pruning some of the old cane, which are more than 4 years old. You know, they might be just crowding the bush and, you know, and be more unproductive. So prune those things so that will encourage the, you know, the better yard movement around, better light penetration around. And that might help. Now, blue crops are very vigorous plant. I don't know about the spacing setting that you have. Say sometimes if the plants are crowded too much in your trench, probably that could also become an issue. Then in that case, you may want to think about pruning them. Now, when you're pruning a bush, you need to be very careful. All the flower buds are located on the terminal ends of the branches. So don't try to, shear them, those healthy branches, okay? If not, you will end up in losing those things too. And the other thing is that make sure, you know, test your soil pH, you know. Make sure to add your elemental sulfur every year in the springtime. And once in 4 years, do your soil pH test and figure out, you know, what your soil pH looks like. Sometimes if the pH is a bit low, it's very high, then in that cases, the plant could have some more stunted appearance. They have a very poor growth. They may tend to show those kind of symptoms. So besides being a little bit chlorotic in nature too, that's another good way to tell your soil pH is a bit high. So test your soil pH too.
What is the pH we're looking for?
Ideally, blueberry needs in the range of 4.5 to 5.5.
Well, I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. VJ, are there any new plants that you're excited about trying out this spring? Not so much necessarily in the blueberry area, but in other perhaps vegetables or even flowers?
Actually, even in blueberry last year, we are excited about a new exotic type of variety called the pink popcorn.
Pink popcorn.
Yeah, they one of our local growers gave that plant actually for trialing purpose. And it's supposed to produce like a pinkish berries. So we are excited, actually, since we planted it last year. This year is supposed to produce some crop. So we are looking forward to that, actually, and want to see how it tastes like, you know. So that could be very thrilling, you know, today. Now, on the other side, you know, on the ornamental side, there are a lot of new different varieties of trees and shrubs available for home gardeners to try. Last year, Bailey's actually released a Diamond Rogue hydrangeas, and we planted it at the extension office in Brown County, and we would like to see how it's performing right up there. It's supposed to take in a both full sun, pot shade, and it has supposed to have this, you know, some of the petals supposed to have a rosy pink too, color to it. So we are excited about that one, and we'll see.
We'll see. I was trying to think about tomato varieties. I always try new ones every year just to see how they're going to do, and some work out and some don't.
There is one variety, I know everyone it got excited last year, it's supposed to have a disease resistant to late blight, early blight, and septoria, and it's called Iron Lady. But it doesn't really taste that well.
Oh.
And so we are a bit disappointed about that particular variety. You know, I heard from our state specialist, you know, in terms of, you know, tasting quality, it really lags behind. But it's an excellent, you know, disease-resistant variety. That's a bit of a
Iron Lady tastes a little ironish, maybe. VJ, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. VJ Pandya, horticulture educator for the UW Extension in Brown County. Our guest on Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller.